All right. Well, it's just great to see everybody tonight, everybody that's here and online. We are finishing up our B1 discipleship training tonight. And I hope that as we're sharing tonight, and we just have little catchy names for it, win one, make one, start one. But I hope you capture the heart behind it tonight, because that's what it's really all about. And hopefully tonight, if there's been any misconceptions about what a life group is and you as a person, can I do that or not? Hopefully some of those things would be dispelled tonight. Did everybody get some notes? We all have notes. We have notes for everybody. So what I just want to start with is the idea of that life groups really should just come out of us getting to know Christ, starting our own walk with Christ, and then as God brings other people into our life, that we would help them walk with Christ, and then something natural like a life group would start out of that. For instance, if you were here last week, Pastor Carlos was talking about a young man that came to Christ, and he got so excited that he invited 25 of his friends to his house and said, come here and hear about this Jesus I just found. And it's just as simple as that. You are excited about God. You want to share with somebody about God. Or let's just say that you took me serious last week and filled out that little timesheet that we had. I'm pulling it out here. And you started finding a couple times, maybe once a week in your schedule, you're like, I'm going to be intentional about calling someone. Maybe you've met them here at church or somebody at your job, and I want to get to know them and find out where they're at when they're walk with Christ. I guarantee you, if you do that, God will bring people to you to help them walk with Christ, that you will be able to help them walk with Christ. And then you might find someone that wants to meet with you on this day, and then you find another person and you start meeting with them, and all of a sudden you're running out of slots in your day, so to speak. What about then joining those people together as a group and then just saying, let's study the Bible together. You know, I see you're hungry. I'm hungry. I want to learn. And so hopefully it just, it's as natural as that. And here at Bethel also, we just want you to know that we consider a life group you and one other person and the Bible or the purple book, and you grow together in Christ. That's a life group as well. Maybe you're a parent and your children are still at home, and you are intentionally setting aside one day a week to maybe go over what they learned at Sunday school, or taking the sermon that you heard past Sunday, or you have a Bible study that you go through together as a family. We would consider that a life group as well. So it's not this, you know, really big thing that only a few people can do. It really is meant for everybody to just capture God's heart. So we're going to start with our notes here and just go through why the Bible would have an emphasis on life groups. And I'll start with also that we call them life groups here. You might have been in other churches years ago when they first became a real, in the 80s, maybe a kind of re-energized in the church. They were called cell groups. And I think with the idea of, you know, a cell multiplies and grows. But in our day and age, it's not really a good word to use anymore, I don't think, personally. So, you know, growth groups, discussion groups, whatever. It, you know, we just happen to call them life groups here. So what we're going to look to the Bible, why it's important. So the Christian life is meant to be lived in community. Really, it's just realizing that getting to know God, your creator, and knowing that he's in perfect fellowship all the time, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that we're just acting like him. We were created for community. We were not meant to live the Christian life alone. You know, just me and Jesus. That's all. I don't need anybody else. No, we desperately need the brothers and sisters of God in our lives. 1 John 1:7 says it this way: if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and we're forgiven for all of our sins. I'm paraphrasing. But it's like if we're in the light, we just naturally have fellowship with one another. That's what God has created us to do. And so we've given you some sample verses here from the ESV, but I think I might, I think there's actually 28 verses in the New Testament that have this one another concept. And so look at some of them. Love one another. Live in harmony with one another. Welcome one another. Instruct one another. Bear one another's burdens. Address one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. Encourage one another. Exhort one another. Stir one another up to love and good works. Show hospitality to one another. Now, when you honestly look at all of these, how many of these can you really actually do on a Sunday morning, for instance? Not too many, right? The answer is not too many. I'm just kidding, yeah. We can hear a teaching, but we can't do the one another. You can give a word of encouragement maybe in the hallway, but Sundays are such an important part of our Christian experience, but it's more that we're sitting and we're receiving. We're really not engaging to a depth that we could, that we should, like in a small group. You know, it's very easy, and especially, I will say maybe American cultures, hey, how you doing? Good, how are you doing? I'm good, hey, hi. And I could do with that with you week after week if I just pass you in the hallway, right? Yeah. But if we're in a home and you start to go my name and you start to know some of my ups and you start to know some of the things I'm going through and then you get and I get to know you, it's gonna go way past how are you doing? Hey, I'm good, how are you doing? Because after a while, you're gonna know, if you get to know me, you're gonna know this is the Carol doing well face, or you can tell, I might say I'm fine. I shouldn't do that because that's not right to say you're fine. But I might say I'm fine, but you'd know me well enough to say, what's going on? And thank God for those people, those brothers and sisters in your life that will ask you those tougher questions. So we need both. We need the Sunday gathering together as God's people, and we need these smaller groups where we can really talk and get to know one another. So that's kind of some of the, you know, the biblical mandates we see, because they're really not like suggestions. I mean, we're really supposed to encourage one another. We're really supposed to serve one another and show hospitality to one another. It's not suggestions. So we also see there that Jesus modeled small group discipleship, and Pastor Philip already mentioned it. He hung out with 12 people. There was the followers, there was the 70, and then there was the crowds, but he would bring those 12 away and they would hang out together. And I love this verse here in Mark chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. And it says, Jesus went up on the mountain and called to him those whom he desired, and they came to him. And he appointed 12. And look, you might want to circle these so that they might, number one, be with him. And then number two, he might send them out to preach and have authority to cast out demons. So he didn't just see them as people that were going to do work for him. He really hung out with them. They laughed together. He told them stories. They walked around together. He made sure they understood the truths of God. These were his friends, not just his followers. He actually called them his friends. So he has set the model. We see that he didn't like have a one-on-one with John, and then, you know, and then he went and met at Starbucks for the next hour with Peter. You know, he didn't have all these like one-on-one appointments, but he did life together. He did ministry with them. And that's what we're hoping to replicate in a life group here at Bethel. So on the next page there, the early church met in homes and at the temple. Again, this is a very powerful verse in Acts chapter 2. It says they devoted themselves to a few things. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship. So you can kind of compare it to coming to church on Sunday, hearing the preached word of God, and the fellowship, the breaking of bread and the prayers. So there were things they did in the temple, and there were things that they did in homes, both and. And then the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now that word devoted is, dictionary.com says it this way, to give up or appropriate or concentrate on a particular pursuit, occupation, purpose, cause, etc. The reason that's important is because is something we need to be intentional about. We need to capture the heart of God about intentionality about community. Why? In America, it's different than maybe other parts of the world. There's some parts of the world where people are actually still imprisoned and even beaten and sometimes put to death for gathering in Jesus' name. That is not our issue. That's real for some people. Our issue is, I would say, time. We're so busy, right? If you have children, you're at this practice and this thing and that thing. And then whatever, when you're at a job, and then, you know, there's just stuff that fills our whole days. Even people that I've met that are retired here, they're like, man, I'm so busy. And I'm like, oh, don't tell me that's not encouraging. Like there's, you know, you're still busy when you're retired. So our intentionality needs to be, I have to make this priority. Because if I don't, there's plenty of stuff to fill my life. Would you agree with me? Yes. So being devoted. The New Testament refers to numerous churches that met in people's homes. This was normal for the first centuries. So there's a few things that we want to accomplish in a life group. But before we do that, I want to just kind of run through, and this isn't in your notes, but some of the things that I've seen as benefits, whether in my life or I've observed it in other people's lives. The idea of finding community. I remember one time an unsaved man from a European country came to a small group setting. Week after week, he heard the gospel. It was that alpha course, you know, just reading the Bible, learning about Jesus. By the end of it, he got saved. He eventually met his wife in that small group. I mean, he really got the full meal deal there, you know, Jesus, his wife. But years ago, there was a young man in our church that was just learning to play the guitar, and he kind of learned by being in our small group. And I'm not gonna lie, it was a little painful at first, you know, he was learning, you know, but then he became one of our main worship leaders, and he's on pastor staff at a big church in another city now. But he learned there, and great. I've seen people learn to teach. This is a great place to learn how to prepare something to say to a group of people versus your first experience maybe standing on a stage, which is a little bit more intimidating. You can reach out to friends in a life group. You have this place of fun and fellowship and community. You invite in unsaved friends, and you invite in lonely people. We live in a world that's so inundated with social media, but so alone and so isolated, and so many mental health issues. People are needing community more than ever. And so being able to have a place where you can do that. You can have accountability in a life group. I'll talk about that later. You can grow in the Word together. One of the main things I love about when I'm with a group of people, we discuss the Word together, there's something about the Bible that's so alive, and you can read it over and over and over again and get something different out of it. But when you hear somebody else's take on a scripture that you've never quite seen it that way before, you're just so enriched in hearing how they've applied that Bible verse to their life. You know, you can be with each other through the good times and the tough times. I had a dear friend in another state. She went through the most painful times in her life of losing a child. And she and her family were involved in a life group. And, you know, you don't look for those things. So painful, numb with grief. And her group just came and loved on her and helped take care of her. And so the point being, we don't know when things are going to happen in our lives. And so sometimes people, I'm going to get around to that. But life happens. And just to have that week in, week out, and sometimes maybe you're not really up to going. And, you know, but you go and you're faithful. You've made these connections. You just never know whether you're going to be the recipient or be able to help somebody go through one of the worst times of their life. A nice thing about a small group is somebody notices when you're gone. I mean, you can kind of hide here. Let's be honest. You can sit way up there and hide and miss a few Sundays. But if you don't come to life group, oh, hey, we missed you tonight. Where were you? And not to be the spiritual police, but like people actually care about you. It's pretty nice. You learn about different cultures, especially in our setting. And I tell you, one of my most favorite times was getting to know some of my friends from Africa, and this was in our church in Seattle. And one of our warm-up questions is about elementary school and what happened in elementary school. And this, I forget which country it was, but they told, if you didn't know your, you know, what's two by two, I mean, they'd get in like trouble, and I'd be like, oh my gosh, you can never do that in America. You can, I mean, there's no way. And just learning about just different, how people grow up, it's so amazing. Celebrating in a life group. If somebody gets a promotion or something good, there's nothing like having somebody to celebrate with. You know the saying that says, a friend multiplies joys and divides sorrows. It's so true. You can develop spiritual gifts in a life group. Just going along like with teaching, let's say you want to learn how to exercise a gift of prophecy. That is a safe place, you know. Five people versus, again, standing up here and the Lord said, and you know, that's pretty intense. The first time I heard a tongue and interpretation was in a small group. You'll hear Pastor James from here from time to time, but again, it was a safe place and it was a really cool experience. And as a human, as a follower of Christ, it helps develop character in your life. You learn to be faithful, especially if you're the life group leader, to follow people up, to be on time, just character things that God wants to develop in every one of us as his followers. If you're married or relationships can be strengthened. I was in a group was all married couples at one time, and you realize sometimes that you're not the only one going through some tough times or struggles or something. And because you know what the devil tells you, he'll say, be by yourself and nobody else is going through what you're going through. And you just get isolated and discouraged and alone. And then you get around three of them, they tell you what they've gone through. You're like, not that you wish it on anybody, but like, oh wow, I thought I was the only one. You know what that means? So those are some of the benefits. And I'm not gonna lie. I mean, I've been at this for a long time. You know, we've been serving the Lord for, it's getting, I don't know, 38 years, something like that. And we've had small groups setting life groups in our churches for at least 25 of those years. And I'm telling you, sometimes I did not wanna go to life group. Can I just be honest? Because I was tired, it's usually at night, I didn't wanna drive, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I can't remember one time once I went and then I got there that I thought to myself, boy, I wish I hadn't gone. I was always glad I went, but I didn't always have the, I didn't always have the energy to go. So what are we hoping that will happen in a life group? Number one, we hope that that you will grow in your relationship with God and with one another and in your heart for the lost. In other words, we want you to be able to connect in three ways. Connect with God, connect with one another that relationally, and then connect with the world. So all those are important. And if you are leading a life group, those are good things to keep in mind. Did we connect with God today? Did we have a good prayer time? Did we have rich discussion around his word? Did we connect with one another? Did you see meaningful relationships go on between people? Maybe people praying together, maybe somebody opening up and sharing. Then you can be encouraged by that. And then if connecting with the world, meaning people that don't know the Lord yet, as a life group leader, want to be reminded, if it's just Christians over and over and over again, then I've got to be intentional. We've got to do something to reach out, our group, that kind of thing. So those are the things you're looking for to see if you're successful or not. And I'm not saying it's like 33 1/3%, 33 1/3, you know, sometimes you might feel, wow, the relationships were really great. The connection with God was really great. Wow, we had this great outreach. But you're looking to keep that balance, that those things are really, really important. So, because I will tell you this, if you venture out there, you will have an enemy that said you did a bad job, you didn't know what you were doing, you know, you should have done better. And that's just a lie. You know, you keep looking back, Lord, did we connect with you? Did you see things happen? And you just fight back. Because God is using you, but we do have a real enemy that tried to discourage you about that. So relationships are so important. Number two, discipleship. really, this is the primary venue, the primary vehicle for discipleship is through our life group ministry. And we want to make disciples by implementing the four E's. Again, this is tough to do on a Sunday morning. And that's why having these, having all of our life groups are so important. We want to, first one, we want to inspire one another on to engage with the lost, with the gospel. So we want to bring in coworkers, friends, neighbors, so they can experience the life of God. But if you are a life group leader, you want to have a pulse on the people coming. Are you sure everybody in your group is a Christian? Are you sure they're saved? Have they been water baptized? Have they been filled with the Holy Spirit? That's what we're hoping, that you will take that ownership as a life group leader. Have they been added to the church? Those kind of things. Establish is the next one. We want to establish believers in the faith by laying biblical foundations in their lives. And a lot of times, the first tool that people will use is the Purple Book, and just start either a one-on-one or a small group and just work through the Purple Book together. We did that this summer during our Wednesday night service, and other people have done it, or the one-to-one book. You meet someone and you want to make sure that you know where they're at in their walk with Christ. But there's other ways, but discussing the word helps establish biblical foundations in your life. The third E is equip. We want to equip believers to make disciples. So as a life group leader, you want to make sure you identify someone that you could see as a potential leader that could co-lead with you, and just say, hey, you know what? You would be a great life group leader. You want to help me with this one and give them chances to lead it, give them some feedback to help encourage them. And then another thing about equipping is that ministry happens in a life group. I remember years ago, just part of the group was a young lady just needed some special prayer that night. And so we paused. You know, I don't recommend doing it all the time, but there's every time now and then it's time to minister to someone. And so all those young ladies got to watch how I ministered to her. So it was an equipping moment, as well as helping that young lady in her real time of need. So it's just natural. But it should be just natural like that. And then empower. We want to empower believers to go and minister and make disciples. So again, if you've, you know, seen somebody that you feel like has the potential to lead a life group, you want to bring them alongside of you and give them some opportunities. And then in an ideal world, I guess, your group gets so big that now it's not a small group anymore. It's a big group. So you got to like multiply. And now this person that you've trained and discipled and raised up, they can take that other group. And now you start all over. And then they find a co-leader and you find another co-leader. Keeps growing and multiplying and growing and multiplying. Number three, what we hope happens in life groups is pastoral care. Meaning that we really care for the felt needs of the people in our group. Like I told you, the people gathered around her, praying for one another, visiting someone in the hospital, providing meals, helping somebody with household needs, whatever that felt need is. Someone has surgery, get the meal train going. It's our life group leaders that we ask, if someone is sick in your midst or has a baby, that you would be the one and your group would go support them, love them, pray for them. Because in a church this size, you can imagine that Pastor James can't go to every hospital visit and go to somebody's baseball game. And like, it's just, you know what I mean? It's impossible, and it shouldn't be that way. The pastors are meant to equip the saints for the works of service. So when people call the church, hey, I'm going to the hospital, they'll be at, are you in a life group? And then we would let that life group leader know. Not everybody's connected here, but that's our hope, that that kind of thing would take care of one another, because you're the ones that you've walked together. They knew your surgery was coming. They've been praying for you all this time. It makes so much sense, right? Just to take care of them like that. And then we hope that outreach would happen in each of your life groups. It's some some way, shape, or form. So praying for people, inviting people to life group, hosting parties to, you know, sometimes you might have a game night and that would be a great time to just say, hey, come and join us. And, you know, by the way, we meet every other week for Bible study. You're sure welcome to come back, that kind of thing. Doing an offsite service project. One group I knew in Seattle, there was a class for teen mothers, that so the teenage girls would go and learn, parenting skills. And then this group would go babysit their children. It was through the library or community service. But, you know, just a community service like that. There's one group that when there's like a fifth Tuesday, they meet every other week. But when there's a fifth Tuesday, they go down to the bridge and they serve together. Or they'll go, there's another group that used to go on a Saturday and maybe somebody, you know, underprivileged needed their room painted or something. They just went and served like that, but they did it together. Anybody knows, it's like if you're cleaning your house or doing your yard, it's just so much more fun when you do it with a group of friends, right? It's just not work when you do it that way. So Bethel's life group model is we ask people to kind of adhere to this kind of format. Life group model is four components. There's a warm-up question, and then you discuss the word, then you ask how you can apply it in your life, and then you have a time of prayer. So we'll go through those briefly, and again, a life group should maybe at last, if you're at a workplace and you wanna do it during your lunch break, you really need to keep it to an hour, but max hour and a half. If it goes over that, then it can get to be a little bit too long. So the warm-up question, then we have some study notes here. We're actually going to go through it at the very end. You can get this anytime off our Bethel website, but I'll just explain each one of them. So the warm-up question, what's the purpose of that? That's just so people can start to get to know one another. What I told you about the learning about a different culture in Africa was out of a warm-up question. What was your school, who was your favorite teacher and why? And it just kind of came out of that. And what's nice is if you know, let's just say you're gonna talk about the topic of faith, you could maybe, frame a warm-up question around that topic. So, but you want it to be easy to answer and avoid questions that have long answers or questions that can be answered with yes or no. And sometimes people aren't comfortable to share, and that's okay. They're new, you don't wanna force anybody. But it's just a good way to listen. And as a life group leader, you're listening to what they say so you can incorporate in later, when Pastor Philip said about Luke chapter 8, I would remember that he talked about that and invite him in. And that just lets him know I'm listening. And it says what he said was important. So, you reference to people like what they've talked about earlier. So you want, the purpose is for people to feel welcome. Most people are coming straight from work. They're tired. They're really not, they're not ready to be quizzed like a Bible. Please don't do a Bible quiz. Who's named the 12 disciples? And please don't talk about the election. Oh, no. just saying, it's just fun. It's just get to knowing those humans. What do you like? What's hard? What was the best job you ever had? Worst job you ever had? Just so that you get to know people as humans, who they are. Number two, and this again should, and so you as the leader, you got to watch the time, because you can spend all night doing this, right? Especially if you have a real chatty group. So then you want to make sure to transition into the word. And if you don't get ready that week, say, next time we'll let everybody else go, something like that. So the word time is, what's the purpose? Is to connect with God by reinforcing the truth that God speaks to us through the Bible. And again, I already said these sources, one-to-one, purple book, the life group notes that I'm going to mention here in a minute. You could go through a book or passage of the Bible. You could do a character study. Let's study the life of David. Let's study the life of Esther. There's so many books. There's so many great, great materials. You could do topics. You could do prayer, worship, marriage, parenting. But we do ask that if you're going to use just a book that you find at the Christian bookstore, just have whoever's your ministry team leader or a pastor look it over, because just lots of them are great, but there are some books that just are not biblically sound. So we want to, you know, or full, it might have parts. So we just want you to just check in. So, but after we discuss the word, then we want to make sure we apply it to our own lives. And that's what discipleship's all about. A disciple is a learner, but not just that. Someone that hears the words of Jesus and puts them into practice. So how am I going to take what we just talked about and actually apply it to my life? Because that if we don't, then we're just learning more and getting, you know, just taking it in and not really applying it. And again, you'll see some application questions when we look through these study notes in a minute. And then we end with prayer. The purpose of the prayer time is to connect with God by thanking him and asking him for his help. Prayer should be offered specifically to ask for his help to apply the word to our lives. And then if there might be some personal needs, and at this point, depending on the size of your group, you might want to pair off or let people share their request briefly, you just have to be sensitive because, again, you're trying to keep it within a person, a time limit. I can testify. I remember years ago, I was in a small group, and I really had wanted. I was hoping to share the gospel with a friend of mine that week. I said, can you please pray for me? I'm planning on trying to share my faith with them. So they prayed for me. And then, you know, when I'm in the moment, it's just that extra push, like, I know they're going to ask me. So yeah, okay, I'm going to do it. You know, just that accountability, that encouragement. And one for me that really, really made such an impact on my life. And I, you know, it's just one, but I was trying to qualify. This is the second time I went to the Boston Marathon, and I was trying to qualify for that. And I had a race plan for this weekend. I said, can you please pray for me? You have to get a certain time or you can't make it. And so they prayed for me, and then they spoke words of life over me. And they said, you're not going to get too hot, and it's all going to be good. And just spoke encouraging words over me. And it did get hot, but I remembered those words, and it was amazing. It was like when I was in my tough moment, those words and those prayers were just there for me when I was going, and it just kept me going. And so, I mean, I barely made it, but I did qualify that day. But I know it's because there's something, I don't know, would I have had I not had, I don't know, but I made it, thank God. But something about knowing somebody's standing with you, or if you're on your missions trip, and you know, you feel it, you just know somebody's praying for you and speaking those words of life over to you. And also when you bring in an unbeliever, and then you say, do you have anything you want us to pray about? And then you pray, and God answers their prayer. I mean, you talk about somebody knowing, wow, God is real, and he answered my prayer, and these people care enough to ask. It's just powerful seeing the love of God in action like that. So now I say all this, and it sounds all really good on paper, but there's times when there's challenges in life groups. I'm telling you all the good stuff. I could tell some, you know, war stories too. I could, but here's some things that could come up. I'm not saying they will, but don't be shocked if something doesn't go perfectly according to plan. These are like guidelines, and then just praying and asking the Lord to help you. So, you know, sometimes when you get in a group, you have a very talkative person, and they can start kind of dominating the conversation. And there again, you just want to try to draw out other people, and sitting next to that person is kind of helpful, because if they're here and you're looking at them and you're nodding, they're thinking you're saying, keep talking. And so anyway, you know, just using wisdom and helping them to let them talk, but try to draw in the other people too. sometimes, and this is, you know, this is real, you ask a question and then just crickets. It's awkward. And, you know, it happens. So, you know, whatever question you ask, just maybe rephrase it or ask somebody, you know, just, hey, what do you think? You know, just asking them to answer it. The group is becoming ingrown. That means, like, man, we are so, our little group, we are so tight. We really don't want anybody else in our group. But that's not the purpose of life groups. We want to keep inviting new people in. Just reminding people to invite people. You might just stop and take your one group one time and just start interceding for friends. Just make that one a prayer group that time. Or having a party or an activity. You might try to start one, and sometimes people come and sometimes they don't. And the encouragement for that is start and end on time, because sometimes people love to fellowship and their life group turns into a 3-hour life group and it's fun in the moment, but that person that maybe has to go to work the next day, they think, you know, last time I went to that, we didn't get out of there till 10 o'clock. I don't think I'm gonna go tonight. So you just having to be mindful of that. Find, you know, get buy-in on what you're going to study together. Find a topic that people are interested in. Call people during the week. Consider changing the frequency of your meeting. What seems to work the best is every other week. Some people do once a month. That's pretty tough to keep community going. Sometimes people do every week. Like right now, the fall study, we're meeting every week, and it's great. It just can depend. And then what you can do is remind, like, to keep the attendance high, is just say, hey, for the next 2 months, we're going to study this. And then by the end of that, then you pick your new topic. So people have buy-in for that one chunk of time. Does that make sense? There's not enough time to pray because you talk too much. You have to really be more mindful the next time. And sometimes maybe start with prayer. If you keep not having time to pray, you know what? We're going to start with prayer this time and then go into the word. And the meeting goes too long. What you can do, if people do want to hang out till 10 or whatever, just say, hey, it's 8:30, you know, we're done now. You're free to leave. If anybody wants to stay in fellowship, you can, but the meeting is officially over, so people don't feel bad for leaving and feeling like they can't slip out. So, and then here's some things not to do. It is not your time then you know, maybe you love teaching and then you're, all right, I get to teach people for an hour now because I love to teach. No, you're more of a facilitator than, you know, this is not your place to just to dominate the meeting. Don't try to have an answer for everything. It is okay to say, I don't know. I mean, who, you know, nobody knows everything. So it's okay to be, to say, oh, let's get back to that. Or does anybody have an answer for that person? This isn't a place to take up an offering. This is not a mini church service. So we don't take up offerings there. We don't turn the meeting into a counseling session. Sometimes there are people in really felt needs, but the place to then minister to them is outside that group. Say, you know what? Let's talk about that right after group, and maybe we can set up a meeting afterwards. Don't feel like you have to be the person that does everything. I'm going to hold the meeting at my house. I'm going to provide the snacks. I'm going to lead worship. I'm going to provide the discussion. I'm going to follow everybody out. That is a recipe for burnout, okay? So give everybody a little task. One of the groups I was in, I'm better at email, but like there was one young lady, she was assigned to be the email person, and she sent the funniest emails every week. It was like, oh, I want to go to that group. And I'm thinking, well, yeah, of course I'm leading the group, but she made me want to go because of her fun emails. And so when everybody has a small part, it's their group then. You know, you be in charge of coordinating all the snacks, and if you have childcare, let's take turns with that or things like that. And it gives people ownership. So who is really eligible to be a life group leader? So what we're not saying is that you just have to be perfect and know everything. Once you get there, let us know, then you're ready. No, this is for anybody that's a follower of Jesus who wants to help others follow Jesus. But if you are struggling anyway, morally, spiritually, you're just kind of burned out, talk to a pastor. It might be best for you if you took a break from leading the life group. So basically, going back to what I said at the very beginning, you just start wanting to help people. You just want to start helping people get connected to God. And God brings people into your life. And then you start setting intentional times. And then you grow together. And then all of a sudden you realize, hey, we're doing life together. We're not just meeting for Bible study, but we're friends now. And we're doing life together. That's kind of the purpose of the group. We're going to take care of one another. We're going to grow in our walk with Christ together. And then we're going to serve together and minister together. And it's just such a vital part of every Christian's life. So if that sounds like something you'd want to do, then here's some practical steps for you to get started. Number one is you pray and write down the names of people you want to invite to your group. And then set a time. You got to look at your schedule first, like, Saturday morning would be good for me. And so, or maybe find a couple times in your schedule and say, these would work for me. How would you want to do that? Which one of these would you want to pick? And then you want to invite those people. Now, my encouragement to you is to meet them for coffee first. Don't just, you know, hey, you want to go to my life group? Just, hi, I don't really know you. I was just, you know, we work by each other. I'd love to get to know you. You want to do coffee sometime? And then invite them. Say, I'm just starting this little group. I'd love to have you come and join us. And then follow up. It takes time for people to form a new habit. And you're probably going to have to remind your group every single time. I still, to this day, remind my group every single time we're going to meet. Because people get busy. And it takes time to do that. So, but then again, it doesn't have to be you. If it's your co-leader or somebody that just is really into like group me or whatever, just tapping in to those, to them. And again, it might just start with one person and that totally counts. But just knowing that the heart of God is that whatever he's done for you, just give it away to somebody else. Give the life of God away to somebody else. So if you want to get out these life group sermon study notes, I'll show you how to find them real quick on the website. And literally, like, took me 2 minutes to look, find it and print it. So believe me, if I can do it, you can do it. So you go to the Bethel website, and then you click on Next Steps there at the top, and that's what comes up. And then under Next Steps, you see Life Group. So you just click on Life Group. And then to find the life group there, but access life group resources, click here. And I just took the one from this last Sunday, and I just clicked the top one, Reaching the City, Grow. And then this is what's there. What is that all you got? That's okay. This is what comes up when you click that Reaching the City, Go. So can everybody pull that out? And we're actually going to do a Reader's Digest version of a life group in 8 amazing minutes. Everybody got this one with the Bethel on it? Okay, just so we can not, I think we should just pair off so that each one of you gets to talk a little bit. So we're going to just take a minute on each one. So if you ever see Bruce sitting in the front and he's like this the whole time, he's really not playing a game on his iPad. He's really like taking notes. That's what he's doing. He's been making these notes. So sometimes it does look funny if you just look up at him and say, is he paying attention? But yes. So if you see here, there's 3 questions. So you could just pick one of them as life group leader. And so why don't you just take a minute and turn to somebody. And why don't you pick the third one? What's your favorite restaurant to bring guests to and why? And just in a couple seconds, tell each other what restaurant it is. Because these other ones are a little deeper. Okay. So this, like, again, this, we're just getting to know people, and then you find out, oh man, they love this kind of food or that kind of food. It's kind of fun. And then the second part there is the word. Now, you hopefully you will remember, because you came to church, but it's all laid out. You don't even have had to hear the sermon, but you can go listen to the sermon. But you just looked at, you know, you guys might want to read together Luke 10 verses 1 through 20. And then you see there's three things that we are encouraged to do. We've got to pray that God will send laborers. Then we've got to go. We've got to go. Jesus wants to send you. And then lastly, we must trust and have faith that God will provide for us. So pray, go, and trust. And of course, you'd flesh that out if you were in a real life group and invite people to comment on the scripture or maybe something they got out of the sermon if it's Bethel people. But it's really designed for no people haven't been to church at all, or you know, they heard it and they really got something out of the sermon. You can as a leader, you know, really work. You can use it both ways, what I'm trying to say. And so pray, go, trust. We are called to reach our city. Some will sow the seed, others will water, but it's God alone who causes things to grow. So now, then you would apply. Discussion is the application part. So now we know we're supposed to pray, we're supposed to go, we're supposed to trust. Now, why don't you take the first one there? What are some obstacles you must overcome to begin sharing the gospel? And so you in a group, but now you're just doing it with that one person just for a minute. Okay, great. And then you would want to wrap up with prayer. Now, maybe something came out of your application time, like one of your obstacles might be, I don't seem to have the time. And then your prayer request could be, Lord, please show them how to, you know, find time in their day to share their faith. You know, I just get nervous. I don't know what to say. Lord, please give them strength. Give them the opportunity to share the word when they have that opportunity, you know, when they have someone they could talk to Jesus about. I pray for boldness for them or whatever the obstacle was. You'd want to wrap that into the prayer time. But you see this very last one here. It says, pray for any of the following as well as other requests you may have. This might be, say, hey, pray for me. I have a job interview this Thursday. Pray for my child. They're sick. Pray for, you know, this is where you'd want to incorporate all of that. But these are great prayers here, and thanking God for the promise of a harvest and for the freedom to openly share our faith. Ask God for laborers to be thrust into the harvest field. Ask God to be one of the laborers. Here I am, send me. So why don't you just pray for one another? Just, it can be whatever you talked about, or just praying a blessing on them as we wrap up, just the last minute.
Has this been helpful tonight? Let's give it up for Pastor Carol, please. Good job, thank you. Could we all just stand up? We're getting ready to dismiss. And if you're interested in starting a life group or just want to know more, I would just ask you to fill out one of the Connect cards. All you really need to do is put your name, phone number, and then just put down interested in starting a life group, okay? We are kind of, when we do this training, like on a Saturday morning, we do take attendance, and we want to give people credit for actually taking it, and so we've been doing that the previous 2 weeks as well, so that we can have a record of your attendance, that you have fulfilled, you know, this portion of our training as well. And we do want to empower you that you would be able to go forth and make disciples, whether that's one-on-one. Thank you for that. You know, definition of a life group, you and one other person that you're meeting regularly just to study the Bible. So we want you just to, you know, kind of the altar call is go and make disciples. Just go ahead and do it. Well, what if I just try? And if you have questions, come back and seek us. But just go and do it. You know, don't disqualify yourself until you've at least tried. Okay? Amen. Pastor Carol, I think I got saved in a life group at the University of Minnesota. So that was a long time ago. And since then, I've pretty much been in life groups, you know, or home groups, cell groups, you know, a lot of different names and stuff like that. But you know, the Bible does talk about that. They met in the large group. They met in the temple. That's like our Sunday morning, Wednesday night service, and then also from house to house. Well, the house to house could be Panera, Starbucks, you know, wherever it might be that you would be able to meet. So we do want to have those, both those dynamics of the large group and the small group. And so, and I've also seen some groups, you know, I've been blessed and people got saved, people got filled with the Holy Spirit, but we've also had, we've probably had to close down some groups. So what we do is we have about 15 seconds of sadness and mourning. Then when we start again, and we'll just do it another day of the week, another topic, another place in the city that we can do it. So, you know, you just got to go out and try it. Let me pray for us and we'll be dismissed. Father, I thank you so much for this group. Thank you for Pastor Carol. Lord, I do pray that you would send us out into the harvest. God, that you would put in our hearts people that we could reach out to. Lord, whether it's neighbors, family members, workmates, whatever it might be. God, help us to reach those people and even to open up our homes or go somewhere with them. Just I pray that we would have that, take initiative, Lord, to reach out and to help other people follow Jesus, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Remember to fill out that Connect card if you're interested in starting a life group, want to know more about it, anything like that. But go and serve the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. Go and make disciples. If anybody needs prayer in any other area, we're going to be here in front, some of our ministry team as well, if you could join us. If you have any questions about life groups or anything like that, or you want to just talk with us, we'll be here for a minute anyway. So God bless you. Go in peace. Go make disciples.